There was a magician. And this magician had a great act, but he wanted to spruce it up. So he thought it'd be a good idea to add a parrot to his show. And so he got this parrot and he trained him up. He thought he did a great job. His next place where he was going to do a show was on a cruise ship. And so he started doing his show, and he would do a trick, and the parrot would go, "It's behind his back." And he would do another trick, and the parrot goes, "It's in his sleeve." And he's like, "Oh." And so he had another couple of tricks, and then the parrot said, "It's behind his back." And then all of a sudden, there was a mechanical issue in the bellies of this cruise ship, and the cruise ship blew up and just sank super quick. And so he found himself and his parrot hanging and clinging to some debris. And after about 24 hours of them waiting, floating in the ocean, waiting to be rescued, the parrot turns to him and goes, "Okay, I give up. What'd you do with the ship?" So I'm not a comedian. I have a day job, so that has nothing to do with a message. I just wanted to get you excited. This morning, I want you to think about the word no. We've all experienced no's in life. And my supposition is, when I look across the crowd here and online, I'm sure that all of us are either currently going through a no, are on the backside of a no, or are helping someone through a no. We were hoping for that perfect job. God said no. This is very close to my heart. We wanted kids at this time, and God said no for a very excruciating period of time. God said no. Or not yet. Or we were planning to retire in a couple of years, and God says no, and that job that you thought you'd have for a couple more years is gone. Life is full of no's. How do we deal with them? I've entitled my message, "The Opportunity of No." The opportunity of no. When we respond to those no's, do we get mad? Do we become callous and resentful? Do we live life thinking that God doesn't care about what I want? How do you handle the no's of life? I want you to think about this morning with me about the opportunity of no. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. What I want to do this morning is I want to use this text as a launching point to three biblical truths that we can gain an insight from the end of Moses' life. And I want to give you these three biblical, practical things to think about in the relationship to the opportunity of no. Deuteronomy chapter 34. I'm sure you're very familiar with this passage. You're very familiar with the character of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And I will read down and through probably verse 7. Okay, so we're talking about the opportunity of no. Deuteronomy chapter 34. I'm reading out of the NASB. This morning. "Now Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him all of the land, Gilead as far as Dan." Now if you've been to Israel, you know, and fortunately I've been to Israel recently, You know that he's seeing this land counterclockwise. He's looking from the east to the west, and he's seeing from that north side of up to Dan and all the way down past Jericho down to the south. And he is seeing this. It's a very big mountain on the other side of the Dead Sea. And the Lord showed Moses all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and all the Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah as far as the western sea, and the Negev, the plain, and the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zor. And then the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." God said no to Moses. He said, "You can see it, but you can't go in." As we move forward, let us pray. Father God, as we look at your word and we unpack these principles that you've given us, Lord, that we would just ask that you would be among us, that you would be speaking to us and helping us to reframe our minds and our postures toward you. And we would ask you to guide us through that. In Jesus' name, amen. We can look at, and you know the story of Moses. We don't have time to go through this. Moses' life was a series of yes and no's. Moses thought he was going to do things a certain way. He saw his brother being persecuted. He comes, you know the story. He ends up killing the Egyptian, and then he thinks he's going to be a savior to his people, and these people reject him. And so it sets him on a course of he was not planning on going. And then at the end of his life, we see through all the ups and downs of Moses' life, we see God say no to Moses. As far as I've been able to study, God gives no reason to Moses for why he cannot go in. God said no. This morning, here's the big idea I want you to think about. The no's that we receive in life, that we experience, are actually opportunities that shape us and direct us into the work prepared for us in Christ Jesus. The no's that we receive in life and experience in life are actually opportunities that shape us and direct us into our work prepared for us in Christ Jesus. So I want to use this passage and this very challenging no as a launching point to these three biblical principles. Number one, and I'm listing them. They're not necessarily in some spiritual order. What I want you to do is I want you to look at these three points that I'm going to be pushing you to. And I want you to listen to what God says that you need to hear and order them according to how you are going through the no's in your life. Opportunities enable us to rest in the sovereign work of God in our lives. That's the first one. The second is they help us see God's provision in a different way. And then thirdly, they give us opportunity to see his better plan. Meaning, the no's we receive are the opportunities that shape us toward the work he wants us to accomplish for him and in us. So let's look at these principles that we gain from his word. Number one, many times God's no is designed to force us to rest in his sovereign work. Moses was shown the promised land. He could see that land. The unique thing, if we look at the text as we keep moving through it, and he says in verse 5, Moses, the servant of the Lord, then died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he was buried, and he buried him in the valley in the in the land of Moab opposite of Beth-Peor, but no man knows where his burial place is to this day. Although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eyes were not dim, nor his vigor abated. He didn't die because of old age. He was vigorous. He could see. And God said no. We can only speculate, really, why God didn't tell Moses. I think this bothers us because we always want to know why. And more often than not, if you're going through a no, or having been through a no, we're not given a reason. When God says no, or he closes a door through a no, it's hard for us to comprehend. What is he doing? Why is he doing it? Often, because of our limited experience or perspective, we don't know the breadth of his purposes. And therefore, we're required. We have this opportunity to rest in his sovereign work. Let me give you an example. Turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. You guys know this story, but I think it's important for us to flesh this concept out. 1 Samuel. This is one of my favorite passages. This is our dear sister Hannah. I'm not going to read the whole passage. I'm going to encourage you to take these key passages that I'm giving you and to study them later on this week and think through them. But as you remember, by summary, Hannah couldn't have kids. The text tells us in 1 Samuel 5, but to Hannah, her husband, would give a double portion to her, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. God said no to Hannah. Right? And we see the rest of the story where she's in distress. She's praying. She's praying so much, Eli thinks she's drunk. And the Lord hears her. And in this case, he ultimately answers her prayer. She has a son. What does she do? She gives him back to the Lord. Right? And then, what did she, the very thing that she really wanted, that was a no, she was given, and then she gave her son back, but she didn't know the rest of the story. Through the no, even seeing some of what God opened up for her, we kind of, because we've read the entire story and we bring that back into the text, Hannah delivered her child to the Lord. We know that she would come back to visit him for a number of years. But we don't know how the Lord, she didn't know how God was going to work through her trust in that ultimate no of what God was going to do in Samuel's life. She wasn't able to see the impact of the no, not yet. Often God doesn't give us that understanding or even have a privilege of seeing that. So what does this look like for us? I'll give you this illustration. A number of years ago, right at a seminary, I was seeking the Lord. Lord, what would you want to call me to? And I was working through that. After I graduated from seminary, I was working for Dallas Seminary at the time, and I went through a leadership course from Dr. Howard Hendricks, and I even sat down with him and asked him, and one of the things he told me was that, Chad, you've got to find the one thing that you and only you can do and do it with all of your heart. And I really took that to heart. And so my time through seminary, my wife worked very hard and helped us fund that. And she was working for an organization through our church. At that time, it was called Crown Ministries. At the time I graduated, it merged to Crown Financial Ministries, not just Crown. And so she had been asking me my entire time in seminary, honey, why don't you come to one of these small group studies on the integration of faith and money? I said, no, honey, I don't have time for that. I'm studying all the 66 books of the Bible, all the doctrines of theology. And so after seminary, I didn't have any more excuses. And I took that course. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. The Lord cut me to the heart. I was frustrated. The Bible talks so much about faith and money. There are over 2,500 verses in the Bible that talk about that. And I wasn't taught but maybe half a semester of how important that is in your faith walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was at that point where I said, okay, Lord, this is the call that you've given me, that I will honor you by teaching in the next generation of the relationship and the impact of faith and money and how we skew it. And so that led me on a course, a journey, to where I left the institution I thought I was going to serve all of my life, to working with Crown Financial Ministries that led us to Biola University and Talbot School of Theology. They gave me free rein as the National Director of Collegiate Outreach to research, write, and teach a course on faith and money. Spent 3 years doing that, three long years. Ultimately, we were able to publish a book on that. And at the end of that 2-3 years that I was teaching that class, I invited 11 professors from around the United States, and I equipped them in how to take what we were doing at Biola to other schools. It was my grand plan. Got this figured out. Now I'm going to go out and I'm going to encourage these schools and equip these kids this way. You know what happened? The month after I trained those professors, God pulled the plug on our work. Crown said, we don't have any more, we can't do this anymore. And so I find myself at the end of this, actually at the beginning of what I thought was going to be the direction of my ministry. And he said no. Years earlier, I had signed a form. I had no idea what it really meant. And that form was, we take all of the things that you write and we own them. So I didn't even have the content that I was writing. Fast forward to 2016. I was working with an institution in Southern California. And I had, throughout the course of my journey, and I'll get a little back to that in a little bit, but I was wondering, Lord, why did you stop this? Why did you give me this vision? And you said no. And so I was sitting with one of the professors that was still teaching at the college that I trained. He actually took over the course that I was teaching, the Faith and Money course at Biola. And he had faithfully taught that course for over a decade using the textbook. And so I didn't really know how that was going to go because the Lord moved me out of that. He led me into different work. And that work was, Chad, you thought you were going to teach people this. No, I'm going to equip you to talk to people about the joy of generosity. That's the one piece that in many cases is the switch to a person's heart. That was my privilege. I thought it was going to be this. I came back and this Dr. Rick B is like, Chad, I want you to know I've had 40 students every semester for the last decade teaching your class. When are you going to rewrite this book? See, sometimes God says no. He redirects you to another path. And in this case, he gave me an idea, just a glimpse of what I thought I was going to do. But instead of doing one thing, we were able to accomplish two things. And so throughout the course of my ministry, the Lord has been using what I did that I thought was going to fail while I was serving him and sending millions of dollars into gospel work. the opportunity of no. First, often you have to trust in the sovereign plan of God. No's allow us the opportunity to testify to God's work and to do things we never thought that we could do. Our focus then, here's one of your practical points. Your focus is not to ask why, but God, help me trust you. We fixate on why? Why would you do this to me? Why? God says, trust me. Trust me. That's the hardest part. So that's your first biblical principle, the opportunity of no. Second, I want to look at is many times no is an opportunity to experience God's unknown provision. Many times no is an opportunity to experience God's unknown provision. Turn to Genesis 45. Turn to Genesis 45. You know this story, but it's a great place to see this principle work out. Genesis chapter 45, verse 5. This is our brother Joseph. He has the opportunity to meet his family, doesn't he? And in that he says this, and now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, because years ago you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve your life. Do you think when Joseph experienced that no, when his brothers sold him into slavery, where he thought he was going to live with his father, live with his brother, and ultimately they would serve him, do you think that Joseph knew what was going to happen when God said no and he was sold into slavery in a foreign country? He ends up serving, being a servant in a foreign country with people who are not his people, and then ultimately God allows him to be the savior of his people. This is when the Bible's kind of winking at us. Sound familiar? Joseph is a type of Christ in many cases. When we're going through a no, it's an opportunity, potentially, for you to see how God is going to provide in ways you had no idea when you're going through that no. When my dad was early in his marriage to my mom, he had said no. He had got two letters from the government asking him to come serve with them in a foreign country. And he begged off for a couple of times. And that third note said to him, yes, you will come serve for us in Vietnam. My dad and mom were married, just barely married. And he takes this letter to my mom, which means he's going to spend the next 2 years of his life training for and serving in Vietnam. When my mom and dad left, not sure where it was, and they embraced for potentially the last time, that was a very hard no. My dad testifies, he doesn't talk much about Vietnam, but he tells me, Chad, I had absolutely no idea if I would see your mother ever again. Ever again. Fortunately, he never had to really engage in combat. Well, I don't have time to tell you some of the funny stories he tells me about that, but when he came back from Vietnam, he told me they did their... whatever they do to let him out, and he walked out of that base, never looked back. And prior to that, God had led my dad to the tallest little peak in Oklahoma. Not sure what it's called. They think it's a mountain there. But he was praying to the Lord. Lord, I want to go to seminary. I want to go to seminary. I want to serve you. I want to go to seminary. And he said, Chad, I came down off that mountain with the clearest no that I've ever had in my life, not knowing what God was going to do. Then he went to Vietnam. He was in boot camp, Vietnam. So 2 years later, God sends him the pastor from the church that they were going to, and Don Roberts said, jump in my car, you and Ruthie, we're going down to Dallas Seminary, and you're going to enroll in seminary. God used his military service to pay for all of his seminary. Now we have just moved my parents from Tulsa to Dubuque. He has not only has benefits from the Agent Orange he was exposed to, but he has full medical benefits from the military. God said a clear no, and my dad had no idea how that no would provide for him in his education and the work that the Lord called him to, and that decision is still providing for him. Right? Sometimes, many times, the no's that we don't understand, the no's we're just like, why, Lord? There are opportunities for us to experience his provision that prior was not known. So no's give us an opportunity to rest in his sovereign plan. No's give us another opportunity to see him provide in ways we never could see. And thirdly, often no's lead us toward an entirely different plan, his better plan. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I love this example of this biblical principle. It's our brother Paul, and he's doing the work of the Lord. Acts chapter 16. And I'll start reading around verse 6. And they passed through Phrygian and Galatian, the region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. See, Paul wanted to go do ministry somewhere else. He wanted to go to Asia. But the Holy Spirit said no. And when they had come to Mysa, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and in a vision appeared to Paul and night, a certain man of Macedonia was standing, appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Often, when God says no to us, it leads us towards a different plan, a better plan. Paul had intended to go to Asia. He saw a need. The need was great. The gospel, Asia needs the gospel. I want to go there. But God said, no, I want you in Macedonia. He had work for him to do there. So often we get fixated on what we want to do and miss God's better plan. No, in our society, seems to be or means to us that we have to work harder for something that we want, to get our dream or to accomplish what we want to accomplish. Great things we want to do for the Lord. But the question that we have to ask ourselves, maybe that's right, but the question we have to ask ourselves, are we listening to him when he says no to us about what it is we think we're supposed to do? Paul was sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to listen to God. And I admit, while we rarely have a clear vision that Paul did about what God didn't want him to do, the question for us is, are we in step enough with the Holy Spirit when he speaks to us through the word in a no? our daughter, who just came back from a place that she thought she was going to study at. She came back, she's coming back to Emmaus. And she's like, Dad, this, I don't understand this. And we have to keep telling her, just because you had a plan, a different plan doesn't mean it's wrong. Often, God's no's are different plans, and he directs us that way. Different isn't wrong, it's just different. That was the first thing that I learned when I went to spend some time in Africa. My boss said, Chad, it's just different. It's not wrong, it's just different, right? When we step back from those situations, most of the time, we're able to be able to say, oh, yeah, okay, Lord, now I understand. This morning, we have seen three things as it relates to the opportunity of the no's that we receive in our lives. No's send us for a loop. We always want to know why. And no's actually are opportunities for us to step back and say, Lord, even if I'm never given that answer, help me trust in your sovereign plan. He's not obligated to tell us why. Sometimes he does. I don't know why. He chooses not to. One of the things I think, and this is totally, I can't support this biblically, but I'm wondering if the Lord allowed Moses to see how better it would be with him in paradise than experience what he was promising his people. Just something I think about. We think we would like something, but man, he has something so much better. Trust in that sovereign plan. It's an experience. No's are an opportunity for us to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, not this, but what are you going to do? How are you going to provide in another way? It's an opportunity for you to see him work in your life in a different way. And then the no's give us opportunities to see his better plan in our lives or in the lives of our loved ones. No's, therefore, are opportunities that shape us towards what he wants to accomplish in and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And all that I am saying here is wrapped up in these two principles. You won't make these make sense if you don't understand and wrap your mind around the reality that God loves you and he can be trusted. God loves you, he can be trusted. And within that context, you can say, I rest in your plan. I want to see your provision. And I want to see what you have in mind that's better than mine. Let's pray. God, we admit we don't like to hear the word no. You've been giving us no's from the start. He says, you may have all of this, but he says, this tree you shall not eat. We don't like that no. So Lord, this is an area where we need your transformative work through the power of the Spirit to help us reframe our minds around this word that we really don't like. Gives us an opportunity in our posture to step back off of our high horses and put you in a position where we see these things through you and what you're doing, even if we really don't understand all of it. God, give us the grace. Give us the ability to listen to other people who are further along in the journey than we are, to help us process those things so that we might receive what you're telling us through the word and the counsel that we receive from godly men and women, and be able to respond to the countless no's that we're going to encounter, which become opportunities for us to see you do amazing things in our life. And it may it be for your glory and our benefit, in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.